live and read the bios and see pictures of others that host these microphones. I'm just a jack in the box Monday through Friday, and I am George. Live and unscripted and unrehearsed for your entertainment purposes up until 9. And let me tell you, we've got a great winter time for me, best time of the year to read. Although I'm just indulged with so many books right now, I can never get to the end of them, you know. I start them, and then there's another one. And that's the only reason for why I turned to electronic readers today. I still enjoy, I'm a touch it, feel it, take it guy. Which is why I like to shop locally and buy my stuff and rather than do on the net, unless, you know, you get to that breaking point where there's a good $35 change, you'll have forced me to do it. But other than that, I want to feel it, I want to take it, and I want to, you know, hold it in my hand. And books, I just can't keep them all. So, you know, there's an electronic reader where you can download millions of books, and that's how I'm able to read them all or, you know, catch up when I can. Well, there's a good book that I want to invite you to maybe read. I think you'll enjoy it. Stories Around the Table. That's what it's called. It's 272 pages. It's a soft cover. I'll direct you to the website so you can follow along with my small little interview that I'm going to do here this morning. Let me see if I storiesaroundthetable.com. And Lisa Molinari joins me live. She's one of the authors. Good morning.
Hey, George. How are you this morning?
Just trying to, you know, shake the cobwebs off. It's early morning talk radio, you know.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I apologize. I've got kind of a nasal voice because this is military spouse rule number one. Something will go wrong when your husband's away.
Ah.
So, of course, I got a head cold. So I got my coffee and my decongestants, and I'm ready to talk.
Well, I just got over mine, so.
Okay.
It's a short one, but it's just a nagging one. I can tell you that much. It's more aggravating than anything.
Feel your pain.
And it's it goes around quick. It tells you, but I figured that's about there's about a 9-day incubation period. When you walk by somebody that has it, you
right.
shake hands or you're on them, you will get it. Hey, you know what? You just keep on giving the gift that gives. You can share.
There you go.
There's nothing
that's
wrong with sharing.
Spin on it. I like that.
All right. Well, I see the cover of the book. You're cordially invited to Stories Around the Table. Lisa is a Navy wife, and she was also a columnist. Are you the one that came with the idea to put this whole thing together?
Well, no. It was a friend of mine by the name of Terry Barnes, an Air Force spouse that I met when we were stationed in Germany together. Our families were in Germany together, and I met her. You know, I was a new writing my column, The Meat and Potatoes of Life, and she is the columnist for Stars and Stripes newspaper, a military spouse columnist for them. And she was doing special projects for Elva Risa Publishing, you know, a couple tours later. We're both back in the States, and I got a call from her like about a year and a half ago. And she told me about the project, and I was just absolutely thrilled to take part in it.
Mm. And a timely, coming out at a great time for it, right?
Well, that is so true, George. You know, not only is Veterans Day coming, but it's just a time in our country right now when military families, number one, need to, you know, kind of connect with each other and feel like they're not alone, because there's a lot that's been going on in the past couple years and a lot of negativity, and they really need this message. That's
absolutely.
That's in the book.
As a matter of fact, I was talking about that on my show yesterday morning. Yeah, I feel bad for all of the families that have soldiers and husbands and wives that are in the military today. It seems like you guys are all your own, you know, cheerleading force today, when at one time this country was in such unity you couldn't break it with anything. And the media has not helped at all.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah. And that's the point with this book. You know, one of the first benefits is that the proceeds of this book, there aren't author royalties. It's being shared with Operation Homefront, which benefits military families, wounded warriors. So, you know, that's one of the first benefits. But the, you know, other benefits of this book, not only will it make military families feel less alone and give them, you know, a feeling of community and make them see, you know, what's hard to see right now, which is that their sacrifices are worth it, you know, despite what's been going on in politics and all that. Their sacrifices are worth it, and it's worth volunteering to serve your country.
Mm.
But this book also is a message for civilians. You know, the stories are everyday stories about parenting, you know, home life, careers, you know, stories that anyone could relate to, both military and civilian. And if civilians read this book, you know, it's really going to create a bridge of understanding where there's a huge gap right now. You know, the civilians hear what they hear on the news. the message that's being sent to the military is, and to civilians, is the military just isn't that important anymore.
Right.
And if civilians read this book, they're, you know, it'll bridge that gap of understanding and really give the military the motivation and the recognition that they really desperately need right now.
The book is Stories Around the Table. One of the contributing authors joining us live is Lisa Molinari. From what I've read, I'm waiting for the book, as a matter of fact. It should be here, probably going to come today. I can't wait to read it myself. There are more than 40 writers that have contributed to this, and I would believe that all 40 of them have something to do with the military.
Yes, that's correct. They're all military family members. There are husbands, wives, there's even a 12-year-old child, military child, who, if when you read this child's story, you would never know the child was 12 years old. Absolutely an excellent writer. So you get all perspectives in this book, and it really kind of runs the whole gamut of life experiences. You know, like I said, there's even stories about infertility, about grief, loss. You know, there's something for everyone in the book.
Hey, you know, that brings me to a sidebar. You talk about an 11-year-old writing in the book here. You know, we can't diss the fact that there's a child that can contribute to something when it comes political or it comes to the military or just encouraging us a lot. I want to remind everybody that I believe it was an 11-year-old girl that wrote Abraham Lincoln a letter and told him to grow a beard. Okay. And he carried that letter for about 2 years. And at his inauguration, he brought that little girl up and said, "See, I did this for you." And I don't think people realize that, you know. She said that his face was too skinny. She needed, and if he grew it, she would encourage her brothers to vote for him. So that's an 11-year-old right there.
That's
and
right, that's
so
right.
Now you know why Abe Lincoln had his beard, for those of you that didn't.
Well, it's true. And, you know, children have this, like, innocence about them. And, you know, you use this term Bullstein all the time, you know.
Oh, you're listening to the show.
I've been listening to your show, George.
You're addicted now.
I'm addicted.
See what happens?
Hey,
my Bullstein bell is unique.
That's right. But, you know, kids don't see that.
No.
They are pure, and they just cut right to the chase.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of it, you know. So we have even a child military writer in the book and in Stories Around the Table. So it's a great book for everyone.
Now, you also, are you the author of the book Secrets of My Success?
Well, that's my story.
Oh, okay, great.
That's the title of my
story. We're
going
to get to that in just a second. Lisa Molinari, I want to direct everybody to the website, storiesaroundthetable.com. I believe this is available for electronic download or no?
I think it is, yes. And you can go to storiesaroundthetable.com, and there are links to all the different ways you can purchase the book.
Okay, great. Now, your particular story is called Secrets of My Success, and I'd like to know what you can give us a synopsis of it.
Well, it's interesting. I usually, on my blog and column is themeatandpotatoesoflife.com, and I write a lot of humor, slice of life. You know, it's like as if Irma Bombeck was a Navy wife for 21 years, like I am, you know. But in this particular instance, that friend of mine, Terry Barnes, that called me about this book project, I had just mom-to-mom told her a story about a conversation I had with my son when we were in Germany when he was 15. And it was an argument, you know, one of these infuriating, eye-rolling, you know, arguments with your teenage son that anyone has, whether in the military or not. And she asked me, she remembered that story after all those years, and she said, "Can you tell that story?" And basically, I used to be a lawyer before I fell in, you know, I had a briefcase, I had a view from the 24th floor, you know, I had the whole shebang,
wow,
right? I wore
wow.
heels and a suit and a secretary. God, do I wish I still had a secretary. But anyway, I then, you know, met a Navy guy and I fell in love. I mean, life happens, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, it does.
So we started that crazy military lifestyle. You know, next thing I know, I'm getting stationed in all kinds of places. I've got newborn babies, you know. And we were in our first overseas tour in England, in a kind of a remote area of England. And my oldest was 3 years old, and we took him to the doctor. You know, and all this time, my legal career, I always thought I'm going to get back to it. Well, we took our son to the doctor, and he was diagnosed with autism. Well, that sort of put the nail in the coffin of my career. I mean, the next several years were just an absolute blur.
Yeah.
And you know, you add to that, imagine, and that's the way it is for any parent who went through what we went through, but add to that the additional layer of the military moves, changing schools all the time, you know, the insurance problems that we were having back then. I mean, it was a huge hardship for us. But we just said, we got to do this. It was like running a marathon. It was like, we got to get to the end. That's it. We got to do this. And we did. And, you know, during those years, I couldn't even brush my hair, much less think about my legal career, you know.
Right.
So it became a distant memory, and I felt like a failure for a long time. And I think other military spouses feel the same way about their careers. It is super tough for a military spouse to maintain any kind of career, much less advance themselves in their career.
Well, I think one of the challenges would be is that you got to play dad and mom. You got to play both because, you know,
and just moving. How with a law license can I practice law when every couple of years I got to move to a new place, you know? So, and then add to that, raising a special needs child, and, you know, my law career became a distant memory.
Oh,
so
right.
I had an argument with my son when he was 15, and we were very successful with the therapy that we did, this home therapy with him and all kinds of other things. And it was very successful. So at age 15, he was rolling his eyes and back talking and doing all the things that normal kids do.
Mm.
And I had an argument with him I talk about in the book, and some things were said in that argument that just gave me this eureka and changed my perspective and allowed me to see that, you know, everything that I did as a military spouse and as a mother were much bigger accomplishments than anything I would have done as a lawyer.
Sure.
And it just sort of allowed me to take a new perspective and just be proud of what I've done in my life rather than feel like a failure.
What a story. There's a book within itself right there.
Yeah, it's near and dear to my heart, and I was really happy to be able to contribute to the book in that way.
Well, I want to direct people also, if they'd like to read, you've got a great website called The Meat and Potatoes of Life, just like that, .com. Lisa Molinari, there's a lot of blogging on there, and, of course, one of the contributing authors for the book Stories Around the Table. Now, for those people that are involved in the military like you and all the people that you know, what about on the outside coming on in? I'm not part of a military family. Well, my dad is a veteran, but I mean, I didn't go through what you went through. But for many people like me, what are they going to get out of this book? To see the inside life of a military family and stories of those that have loved ones that are overseas? What?
Well, you know, there's not such a huge difference between what we experience. You know, we're living everyday life. Okay, so when civilians read this book, they're going to relate to it. You know, this would be a great book for like a book club or something because everyone can relate to the stories in this book. You know, marriage issues, you know. There's a couple of hilarious, you know, stories about marriage and there's stories about raising kids, infertility, grief, loss, you know. Civilians can relate to these stories, but what is great about this book is adds another level of sort of interest for civilians, which is that looking inside what it's like to live those normal life experiences with the added layer of the demands of leading a life of military service. And I think it's important right now with everything that's going on politically and the, you know, I wrote a recent column for Veterans Day that will come up on my blog in the next couple of days. But and I ran into these studies that were recently put out, one by Blue Star Families, and then one by the Navy. It was called the 2014 Navy Retention Study. And there were alarming statistics about military retention rates and about plummeting morale in the military. You know, and that's one of the things I think that is great about this book is that the civilian world needs to read a book like this and get a positive message and understand that military service is indeed honorable and that it's a virtue.
I can't even believe you have to actually defend that.
It's true, isn't it?
I know, but it's pitiful. I could ring the Bullstein bell while you're live right now for that.
I'm telling you. You know,
I know. I feel for you.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Anyone who's been listening to the news for the last couple of years, what are we hearing about? You know, we hear about budget cuts, sequestration, threats to military pay and retirement.
All the time.
Mandatory military drawdown, you know, the neglect of our veterans.
Yep.
This message just says to military folks, and it's their perception, hey, guess what, military, you're just not that important to us anymore. And what does that do? Are people going to we're an all-volunteer force. Are they going to step forward when that's the message?
Mm.
And folks in the military, you know, we're losing talented people in the military because they could probably make more money on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're not feeling that, you know, that sense of honor that comes with serving your country and making those sacrifices, why do it, you know? So this book hopefully will rekindle that.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it, and hopefully many people will be encouraged to get it, you know, online or go get it in the bookstore like I like to do. The book is Stories Around the Table, Laughter, Wisdom, Strength, and Military Life. I think one of the great attributes that you don't talk much about that's made you get through all this stuff and probably adding some humor to the book itself is that in 1984, you were elected to the position of class clown.
Oh, yeah. My parents were real happy about that. That was my shining moment, yeah. Yes.
They were happy when you passed the bar. I know that. But, I mean, yeah. Look, I think we've lost our sense of humor in this country.
It's true. You know, we got to laugh about things. That's what I like to do is just get to the heart of what really matters in life and then just laugh about the rest. There's so much nonsense that goes on, you know? So.
Well, go ahead.
Read this book, you know, for Veterans Day. It's sort of a call to action. I would love for people to read this book and then, you know, go out if you're a civilian, invite a military family member to dinner. You know, if you're military, invite a civilian family to dinner. Connect through this book, tell stories, gain more understanding, and in that way you honor the veterans of this country.
Well, I surely will, and I enjoy the fact that you continue to pump the enthusiasm into this. We need to pay a little bit more attention to it and get back to where we once were, and the military has to give it a break as well. But, I mean, it's one day at a time. We just had a huge turnover in the from the elections on Tuesday, and we'll just have to see what vibe is it that they do create. Now, are you in Rhode Island?
I am. We're stationed here at the Naval War College in Newport.
Oh, did you vote for Mayor Cianci? No, you
well,
can't because
I
you're
didn't.
In Newport.
I filed an absentee ballot in with the state of Pennsylvania.
Ah.
So, you know, we're always changing.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. So, but I think I'll register in Rhode Island for next time.
How long's your husband been in the Navy?
He's been in the Navy 26 years, and I've been married to him for 21.
Wonderful
so
story.
We're like old timers, you know.
Yeah.
They consider us like senior spouses, which is kind of a frightening term.
Well, he's got it. What's his job in the Navy?
He's in an intelligence officer.
Okay, great old naval town there too. As a matter of fact, the
Seabees
are over there, I believe.
Well, you know, it's an all training command now. So all the officer candidate school, you know, there used to be like aviation officer candidate school in Pensacola, Florida, you know, that's all moved here. So this is an all educational and training command. So, you know, the Supply Corps officers, surface warfare officers, JAG Corps, you know, the lawyers, the military lawyers, they all come here for training. So it's really kind of a nice environment. It's like being on a, you know, big military university.
I want to thank you for getting up early and sharing your story and the encouragement and enthusiasm. 40 of you have done that in the Stories Around the Table, which is Laughter, Wisdom, and Strength of Military Life, and you're cordially invited to go on into their lives, and you'll get something out of the book. The website, if you'd like to go, storiesaroundthetable.com. You can give out other, you know, I mean, I know you have social networking, so why don't you give that out on the air?
Well, you can go on Twitter, and there's a hashtag for Stories Around the Table that we've been using. It's hashtag MillLifeStories.
Mm.
And you know, you can follow me at Molinari Writes. And
how many websites do you have?
Well, we, you know,
no,
we got
you
a lot.
You've got meat
40.
And potatoes of life. You've got yeah. You know. Hey, look, it's the internet, man. It's a deep, deep, deep world. You've got to spread out, you know? There's probably going to be people across over the big pond that are going to want to read this, too, you know?
Oh, that's right.
And they
yeah.
can follow along with your writings as well. It's just not because you have this one story in the book. You write a blog.
I do, yeah. Yes. TheMeatAndPotatoesOfLife.com. And it's a newspaper column as well. It appears in a lot of military newspapers and a couple civilian dailies.
Well, listen, keep up the good fight, you know?
I definitely will. Thank you for having me on, George.
We appreciate you doing what you do behind the scenes, and we appreciate what your husband does, and people need to continue to realize that they volunteer to do this, okay?
Yeah.
And he's probably very proud of what he does do, and we're proud that he's there.
Definitely. great. Thank you so much, George.
You have a happy Veterans Day.
Same to you.
Okay.
Thanks, George. Okay.
Lisa Molinari, Navy wife and columnist. Her story, Secrets of My Success, is in the Stories Around the Table, Laughter, Wisdom, and Strength in Military Life, which is, you know, helping out other military families and the outside community as well. The website, one last time, is www.storiesaroundthetable.com. All right, good, good read for the winter time. All right, I got to take a quick break, come right back. We're going to be very busy, but no, I'm not even going to bother. I'm up against the clock here already, so we'll just keep on running through. If you'd like to read her blog, you know, about, get to know more about her, what's cooking. What's it, those recipes? Let me see what this is all about. Cooking's on my mind. Oh, she's got a picture of me. Oh, how dear. Nice shot, as a matter of fact. That's a pretty good picture. I might want to use, I could use that on Twitter. I'm going to download. I don't even have that. You imagine that? I don't even have my own picture. I got the No Bullstein cowboy hat. I got to take some more shots, as a matter of fact. I'm going to start this, get a different one. Let me get this one to download. This great thing about, oh, I have it. I've got it right there. Save it. Very good. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's how it works. You get other. I've done a lot of authors. I haven't had one promote the interview as much as that one has, so I appreciate that. That's tremendous, especially people that listen to this show outside of the area. I mean, there's no, you know, what a compliment, and I'm honored by that, having people listen to, you know, mostly for focusing with a magnifying glass what goes on within and around my broadcast footprint. After about seven, you know, there are plenty of talk show hosts around other people's areas as well, and for them to tune into this, I couldn't be more of an honor. I am honored. All right, back to where we were here this morning. What other news stories do I want to get to? Well, I'll keep you updated on that million-gallon oil. The million-gallon oil spill was the ship my mother told me that was going to come in. That's Exxon Valdez. Your mother ever tell you that? Your mother or father ever tell you that when you were young? Don't worry, your ship will come in. Yeah, well, before my mother passed away, I remember sitting there with her and tell them, oh, that ship you told me it was going to come in, you didn't tell me it was going to be the Exxon Valdez, you know? I'm just having fun with that. But I did tell her that. She'd be a hoot on the air if she was still alive. Although my father doesn't like to come on the air. He thinks that I give Ellen Ratten too much of a hard time. And then, of course, the first thing's out of his mouth all the time is, did you get a haircut? Well, of course I get my haircut. If I didn't get a haircut, how long do you think it would be? I mean, come on. And the only reason why my hair is longer than the average male is because I still have it. That's all. What did I tell you about what was going on over here with the Keene riots? I guess that'll go down in history. Pumpkin Fest 2014. What did I tell you was going to happen? These kids, or anybody for that matter today, that goes out and does this type of stuff, not realizing in the back of their mind that there's got to be somebody next to me that has a camera going. You got to be kidding me to do this stuff. So the Keene police have, you know, they've arrested quite a few. It's not always in your front page news, you know, as it was when it was first happening. But they nailed a lot of these people because of their social networking page. You know that? Bragging about it and so forth. So you got to be silly to do that stuff. Police prosecutor Gene Killam said those postings were used to identify Jacob Clark on his social network. He was arraigned in 8th Circuit Court District Division on one count of felony reckless conduct for allegedly throwing a beer bottle at police during the October 18th riots. They arrested him on October 23rd. He did identify himself as being at the Pumpkin Fest. He made statements such as, what are they going to do, arrest all 1,000 of us? Went to Keene State riots last night with all intentions to blank rage. How's that? And to let his stress out. And then, of course, putting up there, did bad, you know, swear word last night. Hello? Come on. I knew they were going to do that. It's okay. We'll get her. Don't worry. Go about your business here today. You know, you go and you cause a riot and flip over cars and burn stuff. And, you know, it's not like it used to be. People could maybe have, because there were so many of them. And if that had been 20 years ago, they probably would have got away with it as far as us not being able to, you know, nail them to the wall for the crimes that they committed. Today's day and age, you got to be off your rocker. What's the matter with you, huh? It's okay. There had to be 1,000 more pictures. Everybody was taking pictures. They were all over the internet. People in Seattle knew about our pumpkin riots over here and saw pictures of people. And the picture in the paper the next day was amazing. You got 4 people standing on a car, their faces in HD. How you feeling today? Huh? Well, it's not like it used to be. Everybody can help out. You know, when the police come on Fridays and they are always talking about something, if there happens to be a crime that's been committed in our backyard.